Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products on 1010XL. Now your hosts, Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, and Blythe Brumleave.
Thanks to Frank for chatting with us and admitting that he is, once and for all, certainly a wimp when it comes to the rain.
Yes.
And he really shouldn't have to be because he is not wearing any makeup and certainly
that
his
we know
hair
of.
Should be fine. But,
this is not Brent Martineau who openly says he carries makeup with him. So
true, but you know, when you're on TV, right, sometimes right. you gotta powder that nose. All right, I was very disappointed, ladies, when I was listening to the drill this morning and I heard Jeff Prosser talk about our first topic tonight,
yes.
The Jumbo Shrimp promotion for Thursday night's Thirsty Thursday game, You Might Be the Father's Day, is the promotion. I was disappointed that he was talking about it because I wanted us to be the first ones to talk about it. But in case you missed him having that conversation this morning, we're going to certainly talk about it. The Jumbo Shrimp are promoting You Might Be the Father's Day, where they will distribute pregnancy tests this Thursday night when, oh, by the way, beer is a dollar.
Too much of anything.
Oh, yeah. Barry White is now talking to us. And they say it'll be an evening filled with suspense, intrigue, and manila envelopes. Here's my thing about this. You Might Be the Father's Day, to me, says that they're going to be handing out paternity tests, not pregnancy tests. You Might Be the Father means you need to know if a baby that's already created is yours, whereas You May Become a Father after Thirsty Thursday and Dollar Beers indicates that then, yes, in a couple weeks, you might need pregnancy tests. How do y'all feel about this?
I laughed, honestly, because, one, I thought, pregnancy tests are expensive. Can I just go and, like, snag some for free? Because I would thoroughly enjoy that. Just have some. But I, after reading, because a couple places have picked up on it.
Yeah, the AP story, Washington Post.
Yeah, so reading their takes have been fun, where they mention, obviously, dollar beers. They're like, well, hey, I mean, that's great. Thirsty Thursday, that's what got promoted a lot. And this kind of just was like, well, it's kind of funny just to get chuckles. But I thought it would be a better twist if they did You Might Be a Father instead of the Father. Because this is, like, very, you know,
It's a little bit of a play off the Maury show, which is
right.
He's made a career out of
yes.
doing paternity tests for a very long time. But he also has done pregnancy tests as well. I think it's a play off of that, but I thought it was a harmless minor league promotion. It's one of those things that if you are going to a Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp game to determine if you're going to have a baby or not, I think you need to reevaluate a lot of things
yes.
in your life. Maybe not rely on a minor league baseball team to tell you if you're pregnant or not.
And I get that it's a fun promotion. It's a silly promotion. But the one thing I have is I don't know that we should really be laughing about people becoming parents, right? Like, that is a very serious thing that, in my opinion, should be a planned out thing. And
I agree
with you, but that I have been argued that it can never be planned. So, which I say BS, because JT's been planned and we haven't had number two yet because we've been planning. So,
well, and right, not every child that turns out to be a blessing is going to be something where the parents were
right.
intentionally trying to have the baby. However, if you're just haphazardly handing out pregnancy tests to people, again, where dollar beer is being served, then I do think that you're kind of almost promoting the conception of children that may not be planned. And I guess that's where I just kind of wonder, is there a better way to go about this and say maybe more of a spin on it, like become a father, learn how to become a father or something. And then, you know, between innings, they show like goofy 80s, this is how babies are made videos, right? Like I think you can do something really silly with the idea of Father's Day and not necessarily geared towards already fathers. But I just wonder if this one just goes a little bit too far into like, let's be joking about something that I think is a very serious thing.
I mean, it's a serious topic, but you're not going there. If you... 99.9% of those pregnancy tests that are going to be taken that night, which who knows if it's going to be 5 or 500, mm-hmm. but 99.9% of those people know for sure if they're already pregnant or not. And they're doing it as a joke. Like, obviously, a life-altering event that happens whenever you have a child is not something to joke about, but they know their market. This is a college atmosphere on Thirsty Thursdays. They're having a little bit of fun with it. And I'm willing to bet that everybody that's going there is going to be a willing participant. And it's not going to be something that they're going to actually find out that moment that night.
Wait, do you really think people are going to take pregnancy tests in the bathrooms?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think there would absolutely be a joke. I think that college kids will eat this up. It'll be a funny thing to do. You'll probably have somebody that's ready to pop that's going to go into the bathroom and take a pregnancy test and be like, oh, surprise, I'm pregnant. And she's clearly 9 months pregnant. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can have fun with this. I don't know that it has to be something that's – I mean, they're getting a lot of marketing plug for it, and they know who they're targeting on that night. So I think it's fun.
I mean, if you would have told me that we were going to talk – you know, minor league baseball 2 weeks in a row, I would have said, this is insane. What is there to talk about? So this is nowhere near the story, I think, of last week with the, you know, hourglass. Come look at our hourglass, right, ladies. You know,
that's insulting.
That
this
was very insulting.
Feels playful.
I could see where they were going with it. But like I said, it would have been better to maybe, you're going to be a father, you know, like have the women come out and surprise the men and be like, guess what? You know,
oh,
it's
see,
a boy
like
or
that.
Girl. Like,
as a father, I would not want to be surprised at a baseball game. I think the majority of the people that would take this test already know one way or another if they're having a kid.
I would have liked that version better. Like, I would have, you know, especially if they already were trying and, hey, we did it. You know, that would have been cute and sweet. And
that's cute. But on Thirsty Thursday with dollar beers, if you're surprising a guy that's had a few too many, it might result in different reactions than... Yay.
Now I'm envisioning people, like, I never really thought anyone would take it seriously and actually pee on the stick in the bathroom where they're selling hot dogs 10 feet away. Like, I never envisioned that. I thought this was really just a promotion. But now that you say it, I'm envisioning women going in there and some, especially if they are still in college, let's say, like, finding out something that they were not expecting at a baseball game. And then there's crying in the stalls and then obviously emotional eating with popcorn.
That's
and
not
going
to happen.
At least there's dollar beers you can drink your
sorrows. There you go.
Right? That's just it. If you find out you're pregnant at the baseball game, you can't drink the dollar
beers.
It's
no difference than a girl finding out 4 months later that she's pregnant and she's been going out. You know, there's all kinds of certain situations. And I know that there's the seriousness of having a child, but they know their market of who they're targeting on a Thursday night like this. It's meant to be fun.
Is there any chance that they're going to have a camera on the people coming out of the bathrooms? And I
think if people are smart, they'll play it up. I think it'll just be like a fun joke. Like, I think it'll be like a 9-month pregnant woman that's going to come out and be like, surprise, look, I'm pregnant. Everybody's shocked. Put on your shocked face. I think it'll be more along the lines of that.
So I wonder if since the promotion has been announced, if people in the last few days are like, let's try, hurry up.
Well, I mean, depending, I guess, on how far in advance you found out, because you couldn't like start today and take a pregnancy test Thursday night and go, hey, honey,
guess what?
Good news. Right. But so if you find out you're pregnant at a baseball game, at a jumbo shrimp game specifically, what do you name the baby? Like something?
Shrimp.
Crustacean?
Coconut.
Forest. I say forest.
Why forest?
Because Bubba Gump. Forest Gump.
Oh, for the shrimp.
Coconut.
Part of it?
That's a
okay,
good
see where I'm
too.
Going? That's far enough.
How about Alfredo?
I like it.
You can call
shrimp
him Alfie.
Alfie.
Sure.
Shrimp Alfredo.
Tyler, if
like
you were dating
it.
A girl, would you guys take advantage of this promotion?
I would go to the game, but I probably would not take advantage of the promotion.
Would you freak out?
If there was a chance that she would be pregnant, I would not want to find out at a minor league baseball game.
Exactly.
Let's go to Walgreens and let's get a test and let's go home and find out.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously the path that most people take. So there's like I said, I think there's a way that this promotion could have been done where it didn't at any point tip people into thinking that this is making light of having kids, right? Like, as long as there's a way to do it without that part of it, then I'm fine with it. I just have a slight issue thinking that some people are going to be drinking too much at this event, at the baseball game Thursday night, and going like, all right, let's go, you know, let's go make sure that we're going to get some use out of this pregnancy test and not necessarily making the best decisions because it's almost encouraged.
Now, pregnancy tests, they're expensive. So how are they catering to
if
how
a doctor's
many
office is smart, they would have sponsored this event.
True. But I mean, I want to make sure that this isn't a test that you're like, oh, it's one of those, you know, like throwaways that you can't even trust.
Well,
so.
Like I said, the majority of people that are going know if they're pregnant or not. 99.9% of all pregnancy tests that will come out as positive on Thursday, I guarantee they knew beforehand.
And I really want to know the stat of how many are taken. That's my goal in finding out I hope that they film it. Information.
So then now we know next week, this will be 3 weeks in a row, we're talking about minor league baseball.
This is being positioned as a Maury Povich type show. I want to watch it. I want to sit down at the baseball park. I want to have my popcorn ready, and I want to watch these. If you are willingly subjecting yourself to a live pregnancy test, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch.
But now the reveal won't be till Friday, right? The test will be distributed and the reveal will be done on Friday.
We don't even know if there is a reveal. This could just be the promotion that night and then they never talk about it again.
Right. They could just give you a pregnancy test and then say, go take it yourself or something.
See, that's
take
what I just want to go just to get the test. Can I just... Any extras that are left over from the jumbo shrimp, just come my way, please.
That's not something I expected to think of either.
Well, when you're trying for number two, that's expensive. So I'll take some freebies.
Yeah. I was going to go, like the people today that got the free tacos from Taco Bell, Donna's going to go around to every single station. I'd like a pregnancy test, please.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to get into some NFL topics as well as Donna has some words for LeBron. That is all coming up next. Listen to Helmets and Heels built by Dreamfinders Homes. Stay tuned to 1010 XL 92.5.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back in to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. And we have now I just retweeted our Twitter poll that we do every Tuesday night. Wish you to join in. And you can find that at 1010XL for Twitter. You can find it at all of our Twitter accounts. Yep. I am at Football Show.
I'm at Blythe Brum.
It's old.
You can find all of them in the Helmets and Heels profile. If you just click on that profile.
Our Twitter poll this week, if you played in the NFL, would you care if your teammate missed off-season workouts and practices? We have four options for you. No, trying to get paid. Yes, I've put in the work. Depends on his shape, and who cares? It's May and June.
Yeah, I think as a player, you could certainly come at it from any one of those four ways, perspectives. You know what? I understand it's a business, and therefore, I may do the same thing at some point in my career, so I'm not going to hold it against him. Or, no, I'm out here sweating profusely, working my tail off, and we're supposed to be a team, and I expect these guys who are supposed to be like my brothers to be right there by my side, putting their blood, sweat, and tears into this whole thing too. So therefore, I expect you there. Depends on his shape. I think that's a valid one too, because if they come in excellent shape, then you know what? It didn't matter that they weren't sweating next to you. They were putting their efforts in just maybe somewhere else. And lastly, the option of... Who cares? It's May, June. I bet players would tell you that they don't think in terms like that. Occasionally, you know, we'll hear former players say, like, well, this time of year isn't as important. And someone like Brandon Albert did say today, you know, right now it's not as important as training camp. When training camp starts, that's when all, you know, the marbles count, so to speak. But I think that there are some players that would say, yeah, you know what? It's the off season. But when it comes to how I feel about it, if I was a player, I would be 100% furious with that guy, especially if he was in my position group. And I look at it like that yes, I understand you're holding out to try and get a new contract, and that's the best possible way to do that, and you're older and all that fun stuff. But I expect you to be there. We cannot get better as a team, and this is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. We can't get better as a team, especially on the offensive line, if you don't show up every single time that we're expected to be there, whether it's voluntary or mandatory. We cannot be the best we can possibly be unless you're working. And I don't care what gym you go to, but honestly, you can't be in the best physical football shape unless you are in football practices day in and day out. It just doesn't work like that. That's how I would feel.
I think the majority of the players stay out of other players' contract talks because they know that sooner or later they're going to be in that position themselves, and they don't want somebody else commenting on their financial situation, just because each contract situation, each personal playing situation is unique on its own terms. But from a respect factor, I agree with you, Lauren, that a lot of these players, they're going to be paying attention to the guys that are right beside them, that are there with them at the camp. I don't think necessarily that they're like, well, we're missing this guy, he should be here, and holding a grudge against him. I think they're focused on who's here present day, right now, it's the same thing as if, you know, a player were to get injured. You have to focus on the guys that are there, not the guys that aren't.
And I would have added, yes, I put in the work, but also, yes, we sucked last year. Like, I would have put in that one. Like, if you stunk, then you should be at every camp available to you. And it doesn't necessarily mean you, the player, stunk. You, the team, stunk. That's what it's about. For me, when it's OTAs, whenever it's whatever camp is going on, it's about you collectively as a team, not how you perform. So,
and my perspective certainly comes from someone who's not making anywhere close to $1 million a year, and knowing that he's coming in with a deal that's worth almost $9 million a year, it kind of is like, well, you don't really need to hold out. You're not getting the most lucrative guaranteed deal, but at the same time, you're getting paid a heck of a lot of money to play a sport that you supposedly love. So therefore, I don't think you need to hold out. That's where I'm coming from. As a player, I may not feel that way, and I certainly can't put myself exactly into the mind of an NFL player who gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars every week, sometimes millions of dollars a week. But that's, again, I would hold it against that player for at least a few weeks.
I wouldn't necessarily hold it against any player because, like I said before, it's unique to each situation. And like I said, with a lot of these players, when it comes time to renegotiate their contracts, they probably don't want any other kind of input from anybody else besides the person you're doing the deal with. With Brandon Albert in particular, I feel like this was more of a play for next year, not necessarily this year. He's sort of showing his heavy hand this year in preparation for the contract negotiations next year when he's only has 1 year left on his deal. So he plays lights out this year, and then next year he can work that negotiation wiggle a little bit more than what he can this year.
And see, I think he was doing it this year because he saw Cam Robinson get drafted with that 34th pick overall, and he said, oh, crap, that's who's going to be the starting left tackle next year for sure. So I better get my money now and get it guaranteed because if something happens to me, they're going to cut me and my entire NFL career could be over.
I mean, with Albert, reading into what he said, because I like that we get the transcript of his press conference, and reading his answers, he over and over again really spoke about what a tough time he had in Miami the past 3 years. Mentally, physically, he was beaten up. So I'm interested to know as a fan and another fellow player in the locker room, like how awful was it in Miami for you? And if this transition is going to be good, like he probably would have fit in last year with that locker room perfectly. He would have liked it, would have felt comfortable because it was easygoing. This is very strict, so I don't know what type of atmosphere he was coming from, and he didn't really like it. So now he's into, this is boot camp style now, son. So you need to get into shape, which obviously they said he's not in shape, and he will be by July, hopefully. So,
well, and that's the funny thing is Hayes asked him today when we were standing there, so did Tom Coughlin say anything to you when you first got here? And he's like, yeah, he joked about my weight. And I'm sure that that's half joke and half not. You know, it's something like, we all noticed your absence, and we all are going to, you know, have some frustration that you're not where you should be at this point in time. But then I start to wonder, because of his injury and because of how badly he said, you know, his body was kind of beaten up after those 3 years in Miami, maybe this was the best possible thing for him is to hang out at his house, you know, down there, relax, recuperate, and say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, jump in full-fledged at this point. Maybe he knows his body better. It's just, like I said, if I was a player looking at the situation, standing next to him, I mean, it is sweltering out there, right? Like,
right.
It's exhausting when you've got coaches screaming at you about your technique and, you know, you haven't done this type of work, at least during a game in a long time. So that's just how I feel about it. All right.
And you can also look at, hey, if Tom Brady's there at voluntary workouts.
Yeah.
You need to be there. And speaking of that, that's why I mentioned that, just to transition. So LeBron had an awesome 30 minutes of on Undisputed. And I loved it. I told Tyler, I go, this is actually really fun to watch. It's just
the barbershop talk.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Him and his barbershop, a lot of guys there that you know. I didn't know, I think Jesse Metcalf, is that his name?
The former quarterback?
No. He's the actor on Grey's Anatomy. I didn't know he was friends with LeBron. I'm like, surprised for everybody that's coming in. I'm like, oh, okay. But just regular talk and seeing LeBron, you know, getting his haircut, drinking some wine. I'm like, this is very interesting.
Was it red
scenes.
Or white? Just so I know.
Red.
Okay, I figured.
And
just making sure he's a man.
So then a discussion comes up about Brady from one of his friends, and talks about how Brady was what he saw, you know, last year was just ridiculous, and it cements him as the greatest of all time. And then LeBron goes into a conversation about greatest athletes of all time and how he believes Brady and no football player should be in the running for any type of greatest athlete of all time. It wasn't Brady that got me upset with this, because I will sit there and say, yeah, he's not athletic. If we're going smartest athlete, I will say, yeah, well, he's genius on the field. But he believes no football player at all should be in the talks because they only play one side of the ball.
I think that's kind of an interesting argument when you think about it. I think you should get bonus points if you play both offense and defense. But if you're only going to keep people in the discussion for greatest athlete of all time, if you play both sides of the field, then you're getting rid of goalies, you're getting rid of the DH, you're getting rid of starting pitchers, you're getting rid of relief pitchers in the AL. I mean, you're getting rid of a lot of different sports positions that I don't know that even the greatest athlete such as LeBron could play any of those sports. I mean, he could play football. I guess he used to play football back in the day. But outside of that, no, I think you definitely have to consider football players as fantastic athletes.
Wait a minute. Is LeBron really saying that the NBA players play defense? I mean,
yes.
Did anybody watch the 129-119 game? Right. So there's a lot more offense than there is defense. There's flailing. There's
That's
a lot of
soccer too.
Sure. And I'm not saying that doesn't belong in the sport necessarily, although I don't think it does.
And there's a lot of resting.
I'm just saying, like, if your argument as an NBA player is that we play both, like, come on. I think then a lot of times NBA players take some plays off. That's what I'm saying. So it's not like they are the epitome of a player playing both offense and defense. Then you could look at a tennis player, let's say, like a singles tennis player, and say, well, they can't literally ever take a play off if they're going to be successful, like a Rafael Nadal. You know, they literally have to be locked in every single moment. So I don't know that his argument can necessarily be the best in that certain respect, but I also understand what he's saying. But then you could say, well, track athletes. I would honestly put a track athlete up against any other athlete. But then some people would say, but they don't have a ball necessarily, right? So
right.
They're not necessarily like the same type of athlete with hand-eye coordination.
I would have put Michael Phelps up there for all that he's accomplished.
Sure.
I mean, he's the man when it comes to swimming. He's the perfect athlete for that. And I like that in the interview, they counterbalance, and they said, well, he doesn't just affect one side of the ball. You know, he affects, mm-hmm. he's keeping his defense off the field.
That's
he's
true.
Reading defenses. So he's helping his offensive line. He's helping what he does. And by means of Brady, is he affects the entire game, even though he is just the quarterback. The quarterback should affect the entire game.
The only argument I will say is that other athletes from other sports mock football because of the game length might be 60 minutes long, but the actual playing time of these athletes is only like 3 minutes and 30 seconds from when the whistle blows to when the whistle stops. So that's an argument that could be made about football in general.
And there's only 16 weeks, unless you go further. So you do have that, but you're not getting hit by a Mack truck in other sports, you know?
Unless you get hit by LeBron or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but
then you're getting
hit
by a Mack truck.
That just doesn't happen. And
it's funny, too, that this comes out kind of after the year where a lot of the conversation about the NBA was these players taking time off, right, and resting and things like that. So it's like, well, if you're the greatest athlete, or if you want to say that basketball players are the greatest athletes in the world, then they shouldn't need any time off. They're the, you know, they're the healthiest and the most prepared for their sport. I do think, having done a whole bunch of sports in my life, I will say that swimming was by far the most intense as far as practice is concerned and the actual event. The only thing about that is, though, I wasn't a long distance swimmer, really. I did the 500 one time and I didn't like counting 20 laps. But the practice for swimming is so intense, but the actual meet, I was only swimming like 30 seconds or a minute at a time. So it wasn't necessarily like a soccer player. I mean, I played soccer, but you can walk in, at least in high school women's soccer. What would y'all say is the most intense sport that you competed in? Then I assume for
a
you
dance.
It'd be dance. Yeah.
Dance.
Oh, the most intense sport. Well, when I got I wouldn't say I really participated in any intense sport. I did swim. I did play softball. But outside of those sports, I would say maybe the most intense was always when it rained a lot and we played mud football up at the local park. Like that would be the most intense athletically I would ever get.
Tyler, what would you say? What's the most intense sport you played?
The most intense
sport. Like
what
required you to be in the best shape you could possibly be in?
Basketball, because you think you're in shape. And it's kind of like football. You're not in football or basketball game shape until you've done those suicides, so to say, or those football field lengths. So I'd have to say that there's no such thing as game shape until you're actually playing in games and getting in that type of shape.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, basketball was when I was a lot younger, and I wasn't playing against, you know, anybody that was really that talented. But certainly having to sprint consistently like that is very difficult. And if you go and do like shuttle runs outside right now,
oh no,
you'll be quite winded. No. I will say that.
See, I just wish that runner. Within this conversation, they would have been like, okay, LeBron, well, who do you think are the top athletes or the greatest of all time?
That would have been interesting to hear. I'm surprised that he didn't mention that.
Right.
In the video.
Because once... Once he tried to say that no football player should be, then they're like, wait a minute. You know, obviously Muhammad Ali would be up there. I would think Lawrence Taylor would be up there. I would say Bo Jackson just for the fact of he was, greatly accomplished.
Deion Sanders.
So there's a ton of football players that will come to your mind, but football is always at the forefront. Here in America.
And the decathlon, I think that the decathlon athlete is considered the most athletic person on the planet, because Bruce Jenner won that back in the day.
Decathletes and certainly triathletes, all of those that involve you doing multiple things, like anybody who can compete in Ironman, that's just insane. But as far as our sports athletes are concerned, certainly LeBron can be in the conversation for the best athlete. All right, we have a whole lot more to get to, including drugs for NFL players, lots of giveaways, and a controversial story about one of the best college baseball players. So stay tuned to Helmets and Heels built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL.
Helmets and Heels built by Dream Finders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
To Helmets and Heels built by Dream Finders Homes. My name is Blythe, and I'm joined alongside Donna Murphy and Lauren Brooks. Sort of a serious story that came out, what was it, last week? Oregon State's best pitcher, his name is Luke Heimlich, and he was asked to be excused from the College World Series after information about his past came out. He was convicted at 15 years old of a sex crime against a minor, a six-year-old relative. He voluntarily removed himself, I believe, from the Friday night game, but now he's being asked should he still be allowed to play college baseball or pro baseball? What should happen to his career?
Yeah, and what's interesting is he did ask to be excused from the Super Regional against Vanderbilt. However, they haven't come out and said, Oregon State hasn't come out and said whether or not he will play in the actual College World Series. So they were able to advance, they beat Vanderbilt, and now the question is Luke going to pitch? And so certainly everyone's looking to the administrators to kind of make a decision on this. And I think the administrators of Oregon State are leaving it up to Luke and the baseball coaches to come up with what he's most comfortable with. He asked to not play because the story surfaced and he felt like it was a distraction to his teammates. And I agree with him. I'm sure it has been a distraction, because when you talk about something like this, some of the players may not have even known that he was a convicted sex offender. Yes, he registered and he went through the proper protocol when he got to college, but then he failed to re-register when he had his birthday. And so that's how Oregon State kind of figured it out. And then the story came out last week that Oregon State hadn't precluded him from being on the team. They were going to do more of a story on his background, and they found this. And so that's how it really came to light, and certainly leading into the conversation now of whether or not he should be allowed to play. And I am so torn on this one. The first thing that I thought of was, of course not. He did something to a six-year-old girl that potentially could change her life, could alter her life. And I don't understand how he's even allowed to be a part of a team sport. And then I went back and said, it's been several years since then. He completed the counseling and the rehab that he was supposed to. Went through probation.
He did diversion and served probation and had to register as a sex offender.
Right. And so he's done everything he was supposed to other than the re-registration part. And this happened when he was a teenager. And we've all done things that we regret, maybe not to this level where there was a conviction involved. But he hopes that people recognize him for who he is now. So can I really say that your entire life is changed because of one? Well, and it was more than one moment. It happened over a 2-year span. So I'm really torn on this. Donna, help me make up my mind.
Well, when the story first broke, I was hoping that it was just something as simple, I could say, as he was 18 and the girl was 16 at the time. It was something that you're like, come on, really? You shouldn't have to... I feel that you shouldn't have to be labeled a sex offender if it's something like that.
A 3-year range,
right,
or something, yeah.
But then once you read into the story, and it actually happened twice. She was 4 years old the first time it happened, and then it happened again when she was 6.
I feel like he's struggling with some demons.
I understand that forever he has to be registered as that, and that alone is a penalty for you. That you're marked, you know, like back in the old days with the witch hunt, you're marked with an A, and walk around forever.
And I think policemen still have to, like, knock on the door. Anytime you move, you have to register that address, and police are still obligated to knock on the doors of the surrounding homes to let people know,
right,
that you have a sex offender living in your neighborhood. And there's a website you can check for it, too.
Right.
Which I'm not sure if it's exactly like that for college campuses, because it's a little bit different with dorms and things like
that. This is a whole new level. We have never touched base on this one before. So
I did have a question. Did it start when he was 15 years old, or did it start when he was 13? Because I feel like that's a... If it went on from 15 to 17,
no,
that's a big difference from 13.
It would have been 13 and 15.
Okay. Yeah.
Because she was 4 and 6.
Not that it excuses
no,
it at
but
all.
The other thing, too, is we don't know for sure if it only happened 2 times, because we're talking about, you know, the victim here was 4, 5, 6 years old. So she doesn't necessarily exactly remember what happened. Thank goodness.
She probably blocked it out mentally.
But I assume, right, A, she blocked it out, and B, if it happened before she was 4, she may not even be aware enough to be able to explain to her parents that this was happening.
Should
he be allowed to play baseball?
I'm for second chances. I am for that. But this is a whole new level to me. And if I knew that this person was living next door, even though I have a son, I would keep away. I would stay away. Mm-hmm. So if that's how I feel, if he was my neighbor, I don't see how he would be welcomed wholeheartedly into any major league club.
Well, for his, I guess, somewhat of a defense, he has owned this, and he released a quote, and he says, "I'm grateful for the counseling that I received, and since then I realized the only way forward was to work each day on becoming the best person, community member, and student I can possibly be." He voluntarily removed himself from starting in the regional finals, and it's just... It's a difficult thing to do, because I think we're increasingly asking sports leagues to take responsibility for the players that they employ. But I think it should be left up to, if the person has served their time, it should be left up to, on a case-by-case basis, on a team-by-team basis. I don't think that the leagues such as, you know, MLB or even, you know, the College World Series should even come down as far as the responsibility of making a decision like this. I think that he's taken all the... He made an egregious mistake, and he's owning up to it. He's paid his crime, and I think that he should be able to play baseball.
Well, I was fascinated to learn that the NCAA has no rules regarding any of this. So it's obviously left completely up to the colleges and universities. Well, we're smart women. What's a college or university going to do? They're going to always say, well, we're going to take the benefit of the doubt with this particular person when they are a successful athlete, right? That comes into play here. And so I'm torn, because I can stand here and I can argue that in order to play a collegiate sport, that is a privilege, and you are getting to do something, and you're getting to learn this, you're getting this education and getting to learn with scholarships, things like that, that a lot of people can't do. So it's a privilege. But on the other hand, is being on this team and being a part of something like that really good for him and helping him mature even further from the time when he was a troubled teen, right? So again, I understand now why the Oregon State Administration really hasn't come down harshly, and they're probably really letting this story develop and trying to figure out what's best for him and what's best for the team.
They also haven't admitted if they knew about this prior. If they knew about this prior, they should 100% stand by him. Well, it shouldn't matter that it's coming out in the news now. If you knew about this whenever you recruited him, whenever you signed him to a scholarship deal, you should stand by him today.
And the Oregon paper that broke the story admitted that on the application, there's nowhere on the application for an athlete or anybody that attends the university do they ask, do you have any priors? Are you a felon? They don't have that in there. So,
and the other thing, again, I can take so many or two sides to this and every angle. Put yourself as the parent of the daughter, right? The parent of the child, the victim. And that poor person who now sees this story resurfacing, right? And you have to shield your child away from news articles about this. And you don't want her to relive any of that trauma. And then at the same time, put yourself as the parent of Luke, and you want him to have the best possible life that he can now that he has done everything he could do in order to rectify the situation.
That's why I'm putting myself, if this happened to my son, I would want him to suffer every day until he dies. I would want him to suffer every day, and I wouldn't want anybody near him. So if that was me and he was my neighbor, I would always shield JT away. Nope, we're not going to talk to that. I don't care if he's reformed. That's how I would feel. If this happened to my son, that is what I would do.
And what if it was your son? Take the other angle. If this was JT and then you had to work through this as a parent from the time he's 15 to now.
But it happens all the time.
Yeah,
like, he has a right to a living. He has a
right to participate
in hobbies. He you know, it, as egregious as it was, he still has a right to live his life.
I understand. Yeah, I know. And it's hard for me to put in, well, what if he did that?
Right.
Speaking
of quality of life, the Panthers lineman, Michael Orr, he posted and quickly deleted a photo showing all of the pills that he has to take, quote unquote, for the brain. He deleted it very quickly, and it showed about 10 prescription bottles all in the picture. And I have a couple theories on this, but I wanted to find out. Firstly, why do you think he deleted it?
I think someone told him to.
Yeah, I'm sure one of his coaches or his agent told him.
It was nearly immediately that he deleted it. So I wonder if he posted it with the idea that he's doing a service as far as letting people know about the knowledge of what happens during a concussion and the things you have to go through.
You think he knew what he was doing with posting it and then deleting it?
It could be.
I wouldn't disagree. I mean, obviously, unless he was hacked and he hasn't said he was, and it would be really hard to get a picture of those pills, unless you're him. But I'm sure that someone came to him right away and said, you got to take that down. People monitor. I have a feeling that some people get paid to monitor very highly paid athletes and popular athletes' social media accounts.
Absolutely.
At all times.
Dave Caldwell has admitted to having fake Twitter accounts just so he can monitor different players on the team.
And it makes sense.
It's smart. You got to do it in today's age. And when Michael Orr posted it, he left it up long enough for other players to comment on it. Former Jags Eugene Monroe, he's campaigning for cannabis legalization across the league. And do you think that this post sheds a light on how the NFL has dealt or ignored concussions throughout the league?
Look, this post to me doesn't surprise me for the fact of I've never been in a sport where I get hit in my head. And I have to take multiple pills anyways because I have seizures. So for me, who's someone who's never gotten hit but still has a problem with the brain, I'm like, okay. That, I mean, he takes much more than I do, but I still take, you know, I take about 9 pills a day for my head. And that's to keep me sane and everything working correctly. So I just think, I wasn't surprised by it. That's me. I don't know.
Well, Michael Orr, he played in 3 games last year before he was placed in the concussion protocol in September. So I don't know that if you watch, you know, League of Denial and the concussion movie that was recently released.
Right.
I think that's League of Denial. I know there's a book tied to it too. But I think a lot of players question the doctors now from the league. I think that they question any kind of health advice that they get from the league itself. And I think that this picture is sort of further proof to that.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't change anything because we already know that the NFL has kind of looked the other way when it came to concussions and hasn't really done enough when it comes to investigating in alternative medicine for players. If if a doctor can say that cannabis is great for a cancer patient, why can they not say it's great for an NFL player? And then why can't the league look into that, right? So to me, it changes absolutely nothing. It just further is proof that we are watching a sport that is probably not going to last in the form that it is today. We've fallen in love with an extremely violent sport. And to me, much like boxing had its heyday and has kind of faded, I think we will have to see the NFL change once more research and data comes out about CTE.
Because you really only hear about the big impact plays when it's a wide receiver, when it's a quarterback. Right. You never hear it when it's a lineman, especially like on the offensive line or the defensive line, because those guys are getting hit every single play and every single game, every single season. And those little mini concussions or those mini blunt force trauma, it combines over time.
And like Mike Dempsey would tell you, though, every Super Bowl trip he makes to Radio Row, almost all of the former players will sit there and say, I will do it again. I don't care how many times I got hit in the head, I will do it again.
And it's sort of, I think, a little bit unfair because it was like baseball has the steroids connotation to it. The NFL has the concussion connotation to it. But in reality, sports like soccer and cheerleading are the number one cause of concussions. And it's not football.
No, man, you getting dropped off that pyramid on your head, that ain't good.
No, certainly not. We talked a little bit ago about a jumbo shrimp promotion that's kind of fun for Thursday night. You might be the Father's Day, kind of fun slash kind of interesting. Well, we have a 4-pack of tickets to go to any jumbo shrimp home game. Just call now, 641-1010. You can certainly choose Thursday night if you would like. That's a Thirsty Thursday. 641-1010 and be the fourth caller. You will win the 4-pack to the jumbo shrimp home game, any home game, that is. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. We'll be back with more giveaways and a dose of Daly's Place. You're listening to 1010 XL.
And now, a dose of Daly's Place.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
If songs like this don't make you want to dance on a hot summer night, I don't know what does.
I just want a salsa.
Salsa. Have you ever salsa'd before? Of course you have. Don't ever dance in the history known to man. You are a professional dancer. I salsa'd once. I took like a quick little lesson and then salsa'd. I was stumbling, but I still loved it. It was fantastic.
Except on my partner's feet a lot, but any kind of dancing I think is fun.
I've never partner danced.
Even with your husband?
That's not really partner dancing. That is slow dancing with...
Okay, not...
You know.
Y'all have never done like a...
No. Like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
No.
That type of dance.
No. I would never subject my husband to that. Unless he brought it up and said, hey, you want to go salsa dancing? No.
Tyler, keep this playing, pretty please. You're doing a great job. You can win a Peterbrook chocolate heel right now if you can name this artist. This artist was just released as coming to Daly's Place in the near future, so that should narrow it down for you. First caller or texter will win the Peterbrook chocolate heel. And then we'll tell you who this is in just a little bit. Dose of Daly's Place right now. Daly's Place had two big shows over the weekend. They went with a decade approach. Tears for Fears and Third Eye Blind. Tears for Fears, obviously, in the 80s. Third Eye Blind in the 90s. People that I know loved them both that went, I am still trying to get to Daly's Place. Haven't quite made it yet. But this artist, and we're going to have a winner here shortly, so this artist is Santana. Santana has been announced this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, as coming to Daly's Place. And ladies, Santana was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. There's four more people coming that were inducted to the Hall of Fame as well, not necessarily 1988.
See, I'm okay with Santana being inducted into
all right.
the Hall. Who else was inducted?
The other four that are coming include Diana Ross, Cheap Trick, okay. Chicago, and Journey.
No.
Which one?
It should be called Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No, it should not. It should not be called Rock
have
and Roll.
Have you guys been?
No.
No.
I have been.
Is Cheap
I've
Trick
been to Cleveland,
rock and,
but never
rock
been
and
to the
roll?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
Cheap
Trick?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're rock and roll.
Aren't they country?
No.
No. They're definitely classic rock. Like the classic of classic rock.
Man.
I think you're thinking of a different band.
I must be.
Maybe like Creedence Clearwater, I think you're thinking of.
No, I would picture them as rock and roll.
Southern rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But somebody like, I don't know, who else did you say? Chicago's Fine, yeah.
Yep, Chicago and Journey.
Yeah, okay.
They all belong. Diana Ross was inducted, by the way, with the Supremes, also in 1988. All right, so of the shows that are upcoming, which one are you guys most excited about? Would it be Lauryn Hill for you, Blythe?
Probably, just because she has the songs I know the most. And I'm not a I like going to see an artist where I know more than a few songs.
Yeah, so
I think the funnest part about going to a concert is being able to sing along to a lot of them. And with Lauryn Hill and the Fugees, like The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is one of the top albums of all time. And that came out right when I was in high school. I'm sort of aging myself here. But it was a high school was a buzz about this album. And I remember her being all over MTV and TRL when that was still a thing. So definitely Lauryn Hill.
And Donna, what about you?
They're still trying to figure out why I am thinking Cheap Trick was country. Because here it says they signed with, in 2015, they signed with a country label. So maybe that's why.
They're probably taking that turn now.
Yeah, maybe that's why. And I'm just like, what?
I think Donna's most excited about Rise Against and Deftones, the very first true hard rock act that'll be at Daily's Place.
I would be excited about Nas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I would.
That's
right. Hill.
Nas and Lauryn Hill. Like you said, if Lauryn Hill shows up, but Nas, yes.
I love it. All right, well, if you haven't noticed, the construction is certainly ongoing now at the Flex Field, and that Flex Field should be done, by the way, middle of next month. I think that's pretty good.
That is very good.
And, of course, for all of these shows, just head to dailysplace.com, and you'll get the full lineup as well as you'll be able to purchase tickets. We gave away our Peterbrook Chocolate Heel, so congratulations to the winner on that. And now let's turn our attention to a little NASCAR.
Yes.
D-Murph, you have something to say. You had something to say to LeBron James earlier. Now you have something to say to Danica Patrick.
Well, Danica, I'm not going to be so nice about. Look, you got to. She started, you know, in the open wheel racing, and she did very well. Okay? So when she moved over to NASCAR, people, I know her expectations were kind of high. She's with Tony Stewart's team, and my expectations were, you bravo to her, man. She's a girl in a man's sport. That's awesome. I don't, if you can just compete, maybe win one race. She hasn't won any. She, you know, it's just like, man. And then
did
the
she
whining.
Go to NASCAR because it was easy? Because she started off in Indy,
yeah,
and she got second place in what the Indy, or she was the first woman ever to lead the Indy 500 for
and
a couple.
She's
laps.
Had, yeah, she's had. I mean. For a woman in this kind of sport, she has had more success than you would think, mm-hmm. you know. But when you look at the end and go, well, all I remember of you is kind of, you know, running your mouth and complaining. Well, so-and-so hit me and so-and-so hit me. When you're a girl in that kind of sport, I look at it like you got to either keep your mouth shut or run your mouth and say, I'm coming after you. You know, you talk the crap. Don't yell and scream about That's and true. Whine about getting the crap talked to you. About. That's how I think. So recently, last weekend at Pocono, apparently she was walking up to some fans to sign autographs. And things didn't go very well as she had a confrontation and she had to explain herself as to why she is, you know, who she is and what things she doesn't what she doesn't like about. And I know that we cut the sound because there was some foul language, but we got it here for you. It's a little hard to hear, so pay attention.
If you're a real fan, you know that I'm not just like, my job is to sign autographs, right? My job is to drive a car, to tell the chief what's going on. Well, I don't appreciate the book.
It hurts my feelings. I'm a person.
You know what I mean? I'm a person too. I have feelings. When you boo me, it hurts my feelings.
Literally, when you boo me, it hurts my feelings. That's what she says. She's talking to fans. When you boo me, it hurts my feelings. Do you know what's going to happen this Sunday? They're going to boo her.
Yep.
I would boo Can't show weakness. So loud. I would boo in her face as she's walking away.
Suck. Yeah, jackass.
Exactly. I cannot believe you just stood there and told people to their face, when you boo me, it hurts my feelings. You have to be tougher than this. You're a girl in this kind of sport. And what, no matter who you are, a guy, we would just laugh at you and be like, what a baby. A girl in this guy's sport, we look at you with higher expectations. You need to act better than them and be better than them. And she is not.
Before this incident, did you cheer for her?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's not like this changed you from, all right, she's a female in, you know, the only female driving every weekend in these NASCAR races.
No.
Go Danica.
It made me go, see, this is why I don't like you.
And why didn't you like her before?
Because she whines. She runs her mouth. I want you to prove it. Keep your mouth shut. Or if you want to run your mouth, then act like your boss. Act like Tony Stewart.
But don't a lot of drivers do this? I kind of think that sometimes it's made more of a fuss because Danica's doing it. But a lot of drivers complain every single week. I would never. It's sort of like Allen Robinson last football season whenever he was complaining about people booing him. I thought it was a baby statement then. And right. I think it's a baby statement coming from her because you can never show weakness when it comes to opposing fans. And especially in NASCAR, when people have their driver allegiances, I don't think that this made – she didn't make any fans with that comment.
No. And if anything, she turned a lot of fans. I'm going to say if anybody's on the fence and they're like, I don't really care for her.
Right.
And she makes this comment, now they'll be like, well, now I know which way to go for you on Sunday.
Well, and I think it's your job as a professional athlete. Like she said, it's not her job to only sign autographs. It's her job to drive the car. However, it's your job as a professional athlete to, or professional driver, if you don't think drivers are athletes, regardless. It's your job to focus in to be the best that you can be. And if you allow booing to get in your way, you're not as zeroed in as you should be. You should be able to go anywhere in the world and be able to focus so intensely on what you have to do that the outside noise should never play a factor. And to be honest, if it was me and they were booing me, I would have laughed and I would have been like, hey guys, I'll catch you next time. You don't have to boo me. Look how good I look, right? Like I would have made a joke about it somehow, because that to me is one of the problems with Danica in NASCAR is she hasn't won yet. She's still continues to kind of be shown for her good looks. You know, she's still kind of riding that train. And to me, I would never have allowed that until I won a race. I would have said, I am just like the guys. Don't put me in any sort of sexy commercial until I win a race.
Oh, not me. I'd be like, if you're cutting a check, I'm listening.
Right. And I mean, that's not mainly her fault since, you know, GoDaddy.com was her sponsor for so many years. So she had those commercials and that's how they were. And that's how people perceived her and how she was introduced into the NASCAR world. But I mean, now that people know that they can get into your head with just booing you, there is no other sport I feel that is more intimate with their fans than NASCAR. You heard me talk about when it's the 500, how they get introduced. You get introduced and they come walking out of the big stage and all the fans are there and you get to shake hands and slap high fives and fans are in the garage. They get tickets for that. They walk by you all the time. They sign autographs, take pictures. Drivers are very open and understanding this is how it's always been for NASCAR. Now that you just ridiculed the fans about booing you.
Well, what about the other night during the NBA Finals? There was a fan that was ridiculing. It was a Cavs fan. He was actually a CEO of a business, and he was ridiculing from courtside one of the players, and they kicked him out of the game.
Right.
They kicked him out. And In the NBA, you could argue they're very close to their fans too, just the proximity of it.
Right.
But I wonder what the reasoning for the booing came from the fan. Not that it matters, but I wonder why those fans were booing her whenever she, you know, sort of, you know, clapped back at them.
Right. And there might have been, for an NBA, there's also more involved, like more could have been said. It wasn't just a boo. You know, this was literally just booing. They were just booing her. And don't boo me. It hurts my feelings.
I'm pretty sure her life is probably 10 times better than the guys that are booing her. So she just has to, you know, worry about your own grass and not if somebody else is greener.
I couldn't believe that she said that. I'm like, now all I'm going to hear is, don't boo me. It hurts my feelings.
Well, she has her feelings hurt a lot then, because
yeah,
I think that people, maybe it hurts her feelings this time worse because she realized that it was actually her fans. But I'm sure every weekend fans of all the other drivers boo people who they don't like. Like if it's not your driver, you're anti them, right? Like you don't have multiple drivers in NASCAR, right?
You gotta live it up. You have to embrace it. If people hate you, then that's who you are. People hate Kurt Busch, and that's fine. And he loves it, and he lives by being that person. So just, you know, embrace it then. Embrace being the enemy.
She could be the bad girl of NASCAR.
She could
market herself that way now.
But she she can't. She could, but she. I don't think she has
that. Show weakness, especially when it comes to the internet.
I tried to get Danica on the show one time, and I guess the answer was no. It wasn't directly from her, but it was from her agent. So we'll boo you all we want, Danica.
I won't.
Take it.
I will always boo her.
All right. We are going to teach you, coming up next, a new word. We're going to teach you what manspreading means. That's right. Stay tuned. We also have a 4-pack of tickets to the first pitch for Walk Off Charities. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
Now on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, these women obviously want to talk a little more NASCAR because the Danica Patrick conversation continued through the break. And I don't want anyone to miss a few things that were said. One, Donna, I want you to please share the stat about how many races Danica has been in NASCAR and how many top five appearances she has.
That so far, up to date, it's 168 races and zero top fives. That makes zero wins. So
therefore, when people are booing her, if it's your own fans or not, right, there is a little bit of, hey, you're not successful enough to get to the point where you get to choose how you act. I think that's kind of the message that they're sending.
Right.
And Blythe, you were saying that if someone was booing you right here, right now in the studio, how would you react?
I would outsmart them. I mean, I'm of the opinion, if you don't like what I have to say, if you don't like my opinion, you have a choice. You can walk out the room. You can unfollow me. It's your choice, but I'm still going to have my opinion and I'm all up for debate. But if, I don't know. I'm not a booer, but if somebody was sitting here booing us while we were talking, I don't know. I would definitely might have it back and forth with them.
Yeah, I think I would just laugh. Like,
yeah.
If you're gonna take that time and energy, hey, at least you're still listening, right?
No, thanks for listening.
Thanks.
And the the other thing I wanted to share that when y'all were having this conversation, it made me think of, I have always worked for companies where it's primarily men. I worked for a diving school for almost 9 years, and I was one of the very few females that worked there. Then I worked for a landscaping company. Guess how many females worked there besides me? None. And now I work in sports talk radio, where I am one of the only females on the radio station besides the two of you, right? Now I'm, thanks to Jordan leaving and Amanda, obviously before that, I'm the only one who's on every single day, at least Monday through Friday. And so therefore I've always worked in companies where men are my bosses, typically, and I work with a lot of male coworkers. I find it to be so much more important that I complain the least about everything. Like, I feel like I have to take the high road, where if it's hot outside, I say it's not that hot. Where if it's raining, I say I don't mind getting wet, right? Like, if I'm hungry, I will power through. That actually might be the least true of all of the above. But I constantly have a stash of, I have Stan. Thank you, Stan. By the way, the curry is delicious. And I also keep a stash of protein bars so that I never really have to complain. So therefore, I think the same of Danica. Like, you need to be, because you are one of the only females, you need to be stronger than your counterparts. And maybe booing doesn't factor into this so much, but I think it does.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like when Blythe said she would probably, outsmart them and tell them to leave or whatever, you and I would laugh at it and be like, sorry, that's my opinion. I can't help you. But I am a booer.
It's not going to change.
I am a booer at home, watching my own team. And I don't care if it's the Patriots and we're watching preseason game one when they're playing the Jags. I will boo them if they're stinking.
I boo the other team and I'll boo the refs, but I just don't. It's almost like you're a parent where you almost feel more disappointed for your team. So you don't want to boo them.
I boo.
Like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. I was taught never to boo anybody, that it's not sportsmanship, so to speak. And occasionally I'll yell things at the refs. I just don't actually boo them.
No, I'll boo them to eternity.
All right, Donna, please educate everyone on manspreading.
Oh.
This word, manspreading.
Manspreading. This was fun. I was very surprised that I actually caught on to something that went viral. I'm not one that is socially adept, I guess you would say.
Social media. Adept, yeah.
And
you're very socially adept.
Socially. And so when manspreading went crazy and went viral, I'm like, what on earth is manspreading? And you kind of, in your mind, you have the idea, but yes, it is exactly what you think. It's a man sitting down with his legs wide open. So manspreading.
At first, by the way, I thought this was outlawing men from spreading their legs and sitting down on a toilet. And I was like, how do they know that men are doing this? But sorry, please continue.
So, yes, in Madrid, on public buses, you are no longer allowed to man spread. They have, you know, you have the no smoking sign. Now they have the no man spreading sign. And I said, this is something that should be outlawed in all sporting events, because it's all, you're already crammed in pretty much. I mean, unless you're in, you know, the front seats at Yankee Stadium, you guys are right next to each other. We don't need your knees touching our knees. That's not cool. You have your own section. We have our own area, you know, elbows and all. I mean, I'm surprised there's no like chicken spreading or something with the elbows out or something. I don't know what they're going to do, but I enjoyed this. I thought Madrid did something fantastic, and this is obviously something that has gone viral. What do you ladies think?
I just think personal space should be respected, whether it's your legs, whether it's the armrest, whether it's like talking to somebody and they're too close to your face. Respect the bubble that is my entire body.
But what if for people like Tyler, who's what, 6'5"? Are you 6'5" or 6'6", Tyler?
Not even really close to that. I'm like 6'1".
All right, you're 6'1".
We're just really short.
All right, so let's pretend you're even taller than you are, but you really do have long legs. That's why I thought you were
even
taller. So is manspreading something where you would say, well, you know what, I don't really have a choice?
I don't know what the problem is here. Like, is there someone that complained that was like, this guy on the subway is manspreading too much?
We up more than one seat.
Yeah, of course. Like nobody likes that person on a train or an airplane, especially like when they're, like you said, over the armrest. That's a problem.
Yes.
But I mean, be considerate.
There I mean, when you look at the picture, and I can't.
What's
it's
the
a guy's
need to man spread? Is it to air out the?
You don't want to. You don't want to compress your boys.
Okay.
You want to give them as much air and oxygen as.
But can't you cross your legs a different way?
Like, or just don't wear tight pants?
That takes up more room. If you're going to cross your legs, you're probably going to take up more than your one seat. Your legs would cross the imaginary boundary, so to say.
You have to like air them out or something? Is this why? Explain this.
This is a family program. Yeah. I'm trying to keep this as... Yeah, I would say you don't want to compress them. That's probably the best verbiage I would use.
It's uncomfortable.
Right.
Make sure the rocks have moved or have movement, right?
I have been watching...
You are...
I have been watching a lot of college softball and baseball. The softball is now over. My team did not win last week, unfortunately. But college baseball continues, and I'm a diehard. It was supposed to start at 3 o'clock on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. There were lots of rain delays for at least the Gators. There were some for Florida State Seminoles as well. But I will stay locked in. I will pay attention until the rain delay is over, and I will make sure that I can watch the entire game, every single pitch, of my college baseball team and other college baseball teams. I'll watch Florida State as well, or LSU, regardless. That's a sport that I will pay a ton of attention to. Also, though, you know, I went to college baseball games when I was in school, so it's something that I absolutely love. And when I worked at UNF, I went to a ton of college baseball games there, too. What's a marginal sport that y'all watch, and have you ever found yourself going to a bar asking for them to change it to that marginal sport and having people kind of look at you funny?
Absolutely not. I don't watch any marginal sport. I watch elite athletes and then everything else. And even with the elite athletes, with the NBA or the NHL, I won't really watch the regular season. I'll watch pro sports. I'll watch all of football, all of college football. And then the championships are like the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals. But outside of that, there's so much good content out there, like Game of Thrones or, you know, a few other TV shows that have debuted. There's so much great stuff out there that I'm just not going to watch a marginal sport.
No, I mean, unless you're coming into the Olympics, if that's what you're coming up to, I know Fat Tony will sit there and watch some that are fun. I mean, I've gone to establishments when I was younger and asked for them to change it to the Red Sox or something like that, you know, where you're with all your girls and I'm sitting at the bar going, you guys have fun. I'm watching the game. I've done that before, but no, there's no marginal. Like, I can, you know, coming from the North, I don't watch college. I know I'm here in college area, but I watch the NFL. I watch the top athletes, I feel, you know, the top stuff. But Nope, I won't spend 1 second. I didn't spend 1 second on the NBA Finals. Didn't spend 1 second on the NHL Stanley Cup Final.
NHL was good. NBA was good, too.
How can you say the NBA was good? There was no game was close. How was that good?
But it was still competitive to watch. You're watching arguably one of the greatest players of all time face off against one of the greatest teams of all time. So it was a cool matchup.
But it wasn't competitive.
The third game was.
Some of them were competitive. They have when the Cavaliers won game four. I think it was game four. Yeah, game four. That was a very competitive game throughout. The game one was very competitive to start with. It was probably the best first quarter in finals history.
But March Madness I will watch. March Madness is extremely fun.
Would you watch it, though, if you didn't have a bracket?
Probably. Yeah. I like to see the upsets. I like to see March Madness. You are always guaranteed a last second
win. That's not a marginal sport, in my opinion, though.
No, not at all.
No, but it's college, and I want to watch college, so I consider that part of that realm. But
Tyler, do you watch anything that's outside of the major NFL, college football, college basketball,
cricket.
NBA?
I have one that may be a little, I wouldn't say it's
tennis?
Weird, but it's unconventional.
All
I like
right,
to watch tennis is a good one. I like to watch beach volleyball.
Oh, I love beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball is a lot of fun. I like to play it more so than watch it, but both are fun.
When you're watching, are you watching men or women or both?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the women, of course, and the attire they're wearing. But no, the game's a lot of fun, too. I like it a lot.
I love, like you said, playing beach volleyball. That's a super fun sport because you get sun and you get to play. I watch a lot of marginal sports. One sport that's not marginal would be golf. I'll watch a lot more golf than most people, I feel like, because A, I love it, but B, I love watching the golf courses too, but B, also playing fantasy golf. But one time I was at a place and it was during the NFL playoffs, but it was earlier on a Sunday, so the playoffs hadn't started yet. And I asked them to turn on the golf tournament, and it was January, so golf was still in Hawaii, so no one's paying attention.
Right.
And the guy looked at me like I had lost my mind. He's like, you do understand the NFL is going on. I was like, no, I understand. I care about this specific tournament. I'm cheering for a specific guy. And the guy, the manager of the bar was like, if you can tell me the largest person golf, then I'll put the channel on golf. And I was like, it's the Players Championship, duh. So he put it on golf. And I had one TV of like the 10 that were up there on golf. And my golfer did well that tournament. This was several years ago. My golfers now all suck. But anyway, I can't believe that there's not one sport that y'all don't just crave to watch.
Netflix,
and people
Hulu,
think you're crazy.
All kinds of great content out there. I'm sorry, marginal sports. I'm not watching. I'm
like
watching
I said, unless
other
it's,
things.
Yeah, unless it's the Olympics. You know, you'll watch the gymnastics, the swimming. I'll watch the beach volleyball when it's that. I don't know. No other time.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Quite all right. A big event. It is coming up, not this Friday, but next Friday. It's called the First Pitch for Walk Off Charities. You've heard Frank talking about it, certainly on his show. You heard us talking about it on our show last week. And we have a 4-pack of tickets for you to go. It's all you can eat from some of the best local restaurants and 3 craft beers or whatever other type of beers you want. You get your choice. And we'll have a celebrity home run derby, and it'll be a ton of fun. We hope you join us. It's from 5:30 to 8:30 next Friday, June 23rd, at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville. And it goes to support walk-off charities, where we are trying to help local kids who can't afford to play baseball be able to play baseball. If you would like to attend, caller number 2 right now, 641-1010, and you will receive the 4-pack of tickets. We have to tell you the Twitter poll results, and we have a question that we're going to ask each other. If you had one day with the Stanley Cup trophy, what would you do? Stay tuned. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Dealt around behind by Ellis. Arriving first is Kunitz. Kunitz to the outside, got it back to Schultz, and a shot went wide. Rebound off the boards. They score! The Penguins have scored. It is Hornquist. Arvidsson trying to play it to the front. Grimelin got there. Forced back off the boards, and Subban can't catch up to it. Along comes Hagelin, moving on, and he scores! Hagelin with 13.6 to go. A turnaround shot that rattled wide. Subban one more try, deflected over the net, and the Pittsburgh Penguins again are the Stanley Cup champions.
Why are you booing?
I don't like the Penguins. Don't like Sidney Crosby.
Nope. I agree.
Well, you can certainly boo,
but
you're right.
Her and I usually don't agree. That's funny.
Why don't people like Sidney Crosby? What's the deal with him?
Because he comes across like a little rich boy, and everything should go his way. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't go my way, I'm going to cry about it in the corner. That's how
I sort of know about it from personal experience, but he was checked hard one time in a practice, and he popped off and said, "I'm the savior of this league. Do you know what you're doing?"
See.
So I've never liked him since.
Understandable. By the way, those are the comments or the calls made from Doc Emmerich on
he's so great.
Stanley Cup Finals.
If you watch any broadcasts,
oh yeah,
or the broadcaster, he's it.
He is very good.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Insane. All right, so the Penguins did win the Stanley Cup. They get their second year in a row to spend time with the trophy. Donna, what would you do if you got the Stanley Cup for one day?
This is what I would do. I would travel with my family, my mom and dad. TJ really wouldn't care, but JT would care. And we would go to Graceland. And we would take pictures everywhere in Graceland on the Lisa Marie with the Stanley Cup.
Because you love Elvis Presley.
Yes. You tell me, I don't even know if the Stanley Cup has ever been to Graceland.
Oh, probably has.
Well, maybe had Nashville won, maybe it would have had a better chance of going to Graceland.
Right. I wonder. I'm going to look that up. That's what I would do. I would go to Graceland.
It probably has been, I would think.
All right, Blythe, what would you do with the Stanley Cup trophy for one day?
See, I think it sort of depends on, because you get it for one day, but do you get it for an exact amount of 24 hours? That would be my first question.
Yes, you get it for 24 hours.
Then somebody is bringing it to you and you have it for 24 hours. So what I would do is I would travel to probably the Keys or somewhere down South Florida, rent a big house, throw a huge party, prop my feet up, light a cigar, and drink out of the cup all day with my closest family and friends.
And then
I think that'd be perfect.
Do you have to clean the Stanley Cup trophy when you go to return it?
I'm celebrating until the final second that I have it. I'm just pulling an all-dayer, an all-24-hour. I'm staying up the entire time, and it's their job to clean it. They got a full-time person that travels around with it with the little white gloves. You can polish it yourself.
I think I would take it to the biggest training facility for youth hockey that there is in the country. And I would take it there and show it to all the little kids and say, if you work extremely hard, this could be yours one day. And try to inspire them to become the next great American hockey player. Because obviously there's a lot of great hockey players that are not necessarily from America. Mm-hmm. And I would especially love if that was, you know, somewhere in Florida that there was this great hockey training facility. And really show kids that you can achieve absolutely anything you want to. And now go work your butt off. And Donna, have you found whether or not the Stanley Cup trophy has ever been to Graceland?
All right. I don't see anything. Somebody give me a Stanley Cup. Let me go do it.
All right, Blythe. We asked the question earlier today. If you were an NFL player and one of your teammates missed off-season workouts and practices, how would you feel about it? Our options were, as far as would you care, our options were no. They're just trying to get paid. Yes, of course I would care. I've put in the work and they haven't. It depends on his shape or who the heck cares. It's May/June.
Yikes. Well, 35% say, yes, I put in the work. Next up is tied for second and third place. I guess, yeah, that's technically a tie. But 22% for each of these choices. Depends on his shape and who cares. It's May, June. And last place, 21% he's trying to get paid. So he wouldn't care. So that's pretty even poll results. I think a lot of people are a little conflicted on that. I voted on who cares this May, June. Because like I said, I'm worried about myself and who are the people around me right here today.
And I voted yes because I've put in the work. It would be very frustrating for me to take a team product, a team sport, and say that we're going to be the best we can be in September if we haven't been together every possible opportunity through May and June. Yes, I understand it's installation and it's not where the players can wear the pads, but it still matters. It's still, you're learning to communicate with each other. You're learning how to motivate each other when you feel like you can't give anymore. What about you, Donna? What'd you vote?
I voted for who cares, it's May/June. But I did say I would have added, yeah, because we sucked last year.
And that's so. Just the thing. You know, we play that sound clip of no days off all the time. That certainly is the Patriots theme.
No days off.
Right.
Which, He came out and said, all right, it's time to move on now from 2017. This team, did you see what he said? This team has done nothing yet, and neither have I.
I overheard this at practice today. But that's true. That's how you should look at it.
Yes.
I overheard some of the media guys talking about this, and I hope I have the story right. But I thought I heard O'Halloran say that at Belichick's practice, I want to say today, the first minicamp practice, he didn't like what the defense was doing, so he had the defense and all the defensive players and all the defensive coaches take two laps around the field.
Probably.
And if that's really true, and if I heard that correctly, is that not genius?
Yeah.
Like, aren't you bonding the coaches with the players at that point?
Yeah, because it also goes to show you, well, they didn't perform well because you didn't coach them well. Everybody is at fault here, this whole entire section.
Yeah, I like the creative punishments like that. And I think it was a college team last year, the year before, that a couple players were fighting, so they forced them to hold hands throughout the rest of
yes.
the practice.
I remember that one.
Was that the Patriots?
No, it was a college team.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I think it's happened a couple times where they forced them to either hug each other and hug it out, or they have to hold hands for the rest of practice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like it.
I think anything that's creative and outside of the box, anytime when you can keep your players on their toes and they have no idea what's coming, I think that's genius. And I do like one thing that head coach Doug Marrone for the Jaguars said last week is, for him, team building is not something fun that's away from practice. It's really difficult practice, especially if the heat is awful. That's team building. That's when, you know, the players are really learning to bond with each other. It's not going bowling or going to a movie. Do y'all agree with that sentiment?
I want to say yes, I agree, but in the interview with Belichick, he said, no, we do team building. We do bowling or movies and stuff like that. So if someone as tough as that will still take them out and have them do, I would have to say that I guess it works.
I think it's got to be both. It's got to be a little bit of both. There's a meme that went around years ago that it was a mom. She took a picture of her kids when they were fighting, and they're wearing what's called a get-along shirt, and it's just an oversized T-shirt. And whenever the kids fight, they take the shirt and they put it over both of the kids, and they have to stay in the shirt until they stop crying. And then that, I think that could be some different creative ways to get these guys all to get along. And I think they're always trying to have a way to gain a competitive edge. And if your guys can get along and they have that chemistry, then
can you imagine?
Necessary.
Can you imagine making that for, like, the linemen?
I know.
That would be awesome.
Big jersey, and they just have to stand there for the rest of practice in the same jersey.
To me, there's a fine line between developing the bond of the players and the coaches versus almost creating the chasm between and making sure that the players truly respect their coaches. So that's why I found the Belichick tactic a little different, and I like it a lot, because certainly you expect the players to respect their coaches, but they're always going to respect them even more if they're kind of in the physical conditioning with them.
Right.
But at the same time, you want the players to at all times know that the coaches are, you know, superior, and they're not exactly friends with each other.
I wonder how Matt Patricia ran around those two laps.
Probably slowly is what I would guess.
Well, you never know.
All right, so this Sunday is Father's Day.
Yes.
I know that for all of us, our fathers played a huge part into our love of sports. And I just wanted to give us a little bit of time to, whether you want to do a tribute to your dad, or Donna, if you want to do a tribute to your husband, Blythe, if you want to do a tribute to your dad or to your grandfather, whatever. Any tribute to someone that played a role in kind of how you developed, that's either, you know, a father figure or, like I said, your husband who is a father to your son. So, Donna, I'll start with you.
Well, I'll talk briefly just about TJ, because they do a lot of stuff at JT's school. And, like, for Mother's Day all week, they do stuff and they fill out a form. They make them fill out a form of, how old is your mom? What does your mom do great? Blah, 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 you know. And so he created a list for me, which was so sweet and so kind. And then they created a list for dads. And I just, it makes you laugh because of what they like to do. And through kids' eyes and their ears and what they said. Like, for me, he loved to have fun with me because we like to dance. That's what we always have, little dance parties. We'll put on music and dance around. And for him, it was battles. So it's just, I don't know. I love seeing them play together. I love hearing them play together. Knowing that you have a husband or a partner in your life that can make your child so happy and take time out of their day, even though they've, you know, been working all day, and yet they come home and they still want to play and they still want to have fun. And that's just, it just warms my heart, and it just knows that you have someone special, and it's wonderful. I love that. I just love that.
I love it. Good job.
My dad is pretty dang awesome. He's one of the kind of dads that you will fight somebody else for to say my dad is better than yours. Just because from the time I was little, and even when I was little, one of the first words I ever learned, I've told the story before, but one of the first words I ever learned was the S word. And I learned it because I was watching Louisville Cardinal basketball games with my dad. And so ever since I've been a little girl, before I could even speak, I've been following sort of in his footsteps. And I know that he's a business owner, so I learned how to run a business from him. He's the first person that I call if I have a flat tire. He's also the kind of guy that, you know, he'll go and help his buddy build a deck, you know, on his only day off of the week. And he works in lawn maintenance, for God's sakes. And so he's out there in the heat all day long, 100 degree plus heat, cutting grass. And I really commend him for the hardworking example that he's shown throughout the years. And what he continues to do to this day. Oh, he's pushing 50, and he's still out there every single... He's not pushing 50. He's a little bit over 50. But he's still out there, 100-degree heat every single day, never complains about it, and it just... he's still my role model.
Love it, too. Very sweet. I think a lot of what we learn to be strong women, a lot of people would expect that to come from the female role models in our life, and certainly we've talked about those for sure. But I would say my dad growing up, if something went wrong in my life, he was the one I went to immediately. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily that I said fix it, but it was more I'm just going to unburden myself. And he would listen, and he would, you know, wipe my tears away. And he always said that he got more gray hairs each year, the more I cried, basically, you know, each year he got more gray hairs. But the most like compassionate and generous person. I mean, literally any single time our show goes on the road, I have a whole host of people that show up to support me. And I feel like he is certainly one of the ringleaders in getting people to go. And he loves to brag about us and to brag about me and anyone who will listen. Oh, did you know my daughter, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he certainly taught me how to be competitive as well. The only person in my family who has a GPA in high school and college better than mine is my father. And I certainly heard about that growing
up.
Yeah,
reminds you.
You're doing really well, but you know, I still beat you.
But that's good. That's what drove you.
But absolutely. Yeah. Right. It drove me to be extraordinarily competitive.
Right.
And obviously on the field too, there was always that competition, whether it was swimming or soccer. But I decided one year I was going to play softball, and so we went out in the front yard, and he tried to teach me, which was awful. Ugh. He taught me to drive. One year I took the SAT in like seventh grade, some random program, and he took me out of school for the day so that he could try and teach me like trigonometry, right? Like just...
Goodness.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, all that stuff to say that he certainly has shaped me into a person that I'm proud to be, and certainly I hope that I am making him proud each and every day, and we hope our daddies and our husbands and partners all have a fantastic Father's Day this weekend. They deserve it. All right, we are done for the night, but don't go anywhere. Hacker After Dark is coming up next. Many thanks to our fabulous producer, Tyler Devitt, for making it all happen. Thanks to all of you for listening. For Blythe Brumleave, for Donna Murphy, I'm Lauren Brooks. Have a great rest of your night.
Kicking the crap out of somebody and then celebrating like rock stars afterwards.